How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 96 of Locked On Thunder, presented by Pickle and the Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review once you're on that page as well. And you can also find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can see all Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Friday show before we take off for the weekend, so we gotta bring back an old friend of the show. Royce, how many ESPNs, TVs, everybody's Royce Young. How many times have you been on now?
What is this, probably five or six?
Yeah, that's not – I was looking for a more exact number. I was thinking five or six too, but I wasn't sure.
And this, but the ratio here, Fred, you just said this is number 96?
96, yeah.
Yeah, so, man, that's a lot of locking in.
It's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
I can't believe anybody listens.
Oh man. I'm surprised that who's not listening. Like, that's my question.
When I like mention to a friend or whomever that like, or like even to like my brother, like if he just like remembers that I podcast every day, like people are just like, why would you podcast every day? And then I look and I'm like, holy crap, like people are listening. Why are people listening?
Here's the thing that continues to blow my mind. People are fans of their team and they love their team and they want to read all about their team. And like, sometimes I kind of feel like you, cause I'm like, you know, I'll write something that I'll be like, who's really going to read this? But then I think about from my perspective and like teams that I love and I love to follow. And it's like, I like eat it all up too, you know? So like, I look at it from that perspective and it's like, you know, if somebody does a podcast or writes some article, it's like, yeah, I want to get that because that's the team I like to read about.
I know. It's true. I guess that's true. I guess you're right. Or like everybody is lying to me somehow and doctoring my numbers as like some huge prank to try to get me to.
It's a very elaborate prank.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you watch It's Always Sunny?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's like that episode of It's Always Sunny where they trick Dee into thinking she's become a successful stand-up comedian. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's my life now. Like, all of a sudden, like, Mac and Charlie are going to, like, jump out from behind the curtain and be like, this was all a joke. Like, you don't even live in Oklahoma now.
Yeah, that was the whole big thing is the prank was that you had to move to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't even have a job now. I'm just going to – I'm totally strung out. So what do you think of Russell Westbrook these days?
Russell Westbrook, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, Fred, and I've come to the conclusion after looking over numbers and thinking about it, watching game film, I think he's got a chance to be an all-star this year. You know, I think he could make a run at it. I think that maybe some people will notice that he's having a good season.
This kid's got potential.
He does. You know, I think he's got a real chance to remain the starter. I don't think anybody's going to take his starting job for a while. I think he's got that nailed down.
You say that sarcastically, but my dad knows nothing about basketball. Like, really, really doesn't follow it at all. Doesn't know anything. He lives in New York, and he called me the other day and was like, "Who's this Latvian kid on the Knicks everyone's talking about?" And like, he just like he does not know the first thing about basketball.
Right?
He loves baseball. But he just could not be more – and he doesn't watch like ESPN or anything like that. So like sorry for throwing your company under the bus.
Well, you know.
But
as long as he's not cutting his cord.
I don't think he's even reading the Norman transcript. So he just doesn't even encounter any basketball. And he like has kind of started watching Thunder stuff because I'm a Thunder beat writer. And it is – I don't know if you knew that. and it's I'm tied to it.
Purely coincidental. He had no idea that you were the Thunder beat writer. He just started watching the Thunder play.
So he says to me the other day, this guy, Westbrook, had 18 rebounds, and he's a point guard against the Knicks. I was like, yeah, he's really good. He's really good, Dyson. 18 rebounds. That's incomprehensible. He's just freaking out that Westbrook, a point guard, had 18 rebounds.
I would love to – I'm almost like – I'm jealous of that because like he's like experiencing like Russell Westbrook like kind of for like the first time. It's almost like when you like tell a friend like that hasn't watched like Breaking Bad or something, or like listen to like Dark Side of the Moon, some great album, and like, you know, you want to like be able to like transport yourself back to when you got to experience that for the first time. And like that's him right now, I guess, with Russell Westbrook. He's like, this guy is like really good.
Yeah, and then he watched the Thunder game and he's like, what an athlete. I'm like, yeah, he's like very arguably the most incredible athlete in the world, Dad. Good job.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that actually brings up like, that brings up kind of like a point I've been thinking about is that you see like lines that Westbrook put up. What did he have last night? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
35, 14, 11.
And like, it's, you know, a popular word these days for a lot of people is normalization, right? Russell Westbrook is normalizing the massive stat line. And LeBron did it first. I mean, LeBron and players before LeBron even did it. But like in recent times, like LeBron like normalized the 27-7-7 stat line to where it's like it didn't like stick out to you. And then like Kevin Durant kind of normalized scoring in a way. Like, you know, if some guys like step up and they score, like if CJ McCollum scores like 33, you're like, wow, CJ McCollum had a nice game tonight. But you're so used to seeing 33 next to Kevin Durant's name, or you're so used to seeing 35, 14, and 11 next to Westbrook's name, that like if Derrick Rose put that line up, people would be like, oh my gosh, what a game by Derrick Rose. But since Russell Westbrook does it just so routinely, it's like he almost has to start putting up like 40, 20, and 18 for us to like really think like, wow, he had an amazing game, because he has completely normalized the triple-double to where it's like this expectation, when in reality, it's one of the most difficult things to do in basketball is to put up that kind of stat line on a nightly basis.
It's too bad he's stat padding.
Yeah, it is too bad that he's just out there chasing offensive rebounds like a jerk, okay. just trying to win games for his team.
I actually do want to have a serious conversation about this, because I know this is a pretty common internet conversation right now that Russell Westbrook's numbers are not either – they're either not impressive because he's doing them at the expense of his team, or they're not as impressive as they seem once you dig deeper into them. And I want to have this conversation – like I know we're joking around, but I actually do want to have this conversation and like not sound like we're like, you know, shills for Russell Westbrook, who, you know, to cover him and are trying to get on his side or whatever. Because I promise you, anyone listening – oh my God, I'm so confident that Russell Westbrook has no idea what Locked On Thunder is.
He's probably one of the dedicated listeners. You know, when we see him when we walk in the locker room pregame, Fred, you know, and
he's got his
iPhone earbuds in. Yeah, he's listening to Locked On Thunder.
He's listening to the previous episode.
I'm sure. Taking mental notes, and he's ready to go out and play.
He just wants to hear about the irony of how Andre Robertson playing well means it's even tougher for them to keep him. That's all. Yeah. That's all he wants. He's one of those Thunder fans that just wants coverage. But I do want to actually have a discussion about this, because I don't think, at least I haven't encountered, and I scour the internet for Thunder coverage, and I haven't really encountered an intelligent article or intelligent dialogue kind of about this, about taking on the is he stat padding, and what does stat padding mean, which is the more important thing. Because I think we'll both agree, like there are times where Russell drifts into the lane on defense, doesn't really guard a guy, hangs around, and ends up grabbing a rebound because of it. And like he does lead the league in uncontested rebounds. There are times, you know, the end of the first half against the Knicks, he had 14, 10, and 9. He was assist away from a first half triple-double, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And he ended the half by kind of throwing away a pass to Joffre LeVern. Right. I shouldn't say throwing away, it got tipped. Clearly trying to force it. He obviously knew he had 14, 10, and 9, and he obviously wanted to get the triple-double. I don't want the conversation to be Russell Westbrook never chases stats, because I don't think any reasonable person who watches the game would say that about him.
Yeah.
But my question is, does how much or does that delegitimize the numbers even 5%.
Yeah, I don't think it delegitimizes them any percent, quite honestly, because you still have to put up the numbers. And I mean, like you, I think you summarized it pretty well there, Fred, that like, I don't think you can necessarily deny that at times Russell Westbrook is hunting for an assist, right? But like, kind of like, you know, unpack that a little bit. What does hunting for an assist mean? It means he's hunting for 2 points for his team, or possibly 3 points. Is that a bad thing? You know, I mean, like, and so, yes, I guess in some ways, if he had, you know, turned down maybe the, like a, you know, a simple swing pass to reset the offense versus trying to force a pass into Laverne or whoever, Adams, that would have resulted directly in a layup. Yeah. I mean, in a turnover. Yeah. That's not necessarily a great play, but like, to me, is if it's not at the expense of the team and what the team is doing, I don't see how anybody could necessarily make a case that it's a bad thing. And then I also don't see how anybody can necessarily make a case that it, like you said, delegitimizes his numbers, because there's plenty of players in the NBA that are stat consumed. And, you know, because let's face it, that's one of the biggest ways you get paid in the NBA, right? Is you put up numbers, and if you put up numbers, you make money. So everybody's chasing stats to a degree. Everybody wants to play as well as you possibly can and fill the box score. If it was just as simple as Russell Westbrook's hunting stats and that's what he wants to do, guess what? There'd be 40 players in the league right now averaging triple doubles if it was just that easy. If all it required was just chasing stats and chasing rebounds and trying to get assists, a lot more people would be doing it. And the fact of the matter is Russell Westbrook's the only one. And I don't understand how anybody could necessarily, you know, kind of put something on him to say that this is a bad thing or this is hurting the team. Everybody understands the responsibility that Westbrook has right now. He's taking it on full steam ahead, and I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, me neither. Look, every player has an intentional or an occasional flaw. Every player, except for maybe LeBron. Right. But even LeBron, like, has inconsistent jump shot.
Right.
LeBron is the best player I've ever seen. I say that because I was not watching. I was too young to witness Jordan's prime. So, like, LeBron is the best player that I have ever seen in my entire life. And he has a flaw. Like, he has a flaw that anyone can kind of pick out. You can be like, oh, he doesn't really hit. He's had some great three-point shooting seasons, but the last 2 years, like, he's not a consistent three-point shooter throughout his entire career. It's a nitpicky flaw. But when you talk about greatness at that level, you have to nitpick to find the flaw, right?
Right.
I think what's interesting about Russell in his career, and like, I think this will be part of his legacy no matter what, no matter, you know, whether he becomes a first tier Hall of Famer, second tier Hall of Famer, third tier Hall of Famer, whatever it is, I think part of his legacy is going to be that for him, it's kind of rare for his level of greatness. The flaws, although they're not necessarily more abundant than they are in great players, they're more obvious.
Yeah.
And with LeBron, the flaws are so subtle. Even with like a Kawhi Leonard, the flaws are so subtle. You know, with Durant, they're so subtle. With Russell, they're so obvious. He doesn't take good shots. And
he embraces them too. He has no hesitation to expose himself with the flaws, right? He doesn't try to guard himself against the flaws.
Right. And for people who are watching from the outside, it looks like it's so much more fixable than just like add a jump shot or just like get good at finishing at the rim. Or just, you know, whatever it might be. You know, it's the same thing with James Harden. Like, James Harden got killed for his defense for 2 years because somebody made a YouTube video that went viral of all the times that he didn't try hard on defense. But, like, James Harden is not the worst defensive player in the NBA. Someone just decided to pick on him, and then it became obvious, right?
Right.
Like, there are worse defensive players than James Harden in the NBA, but people pick on him because it's an obvious thing. And people just talk about his overall, oh, well, it's his defense. No, it was his off-ball defense for like a season and a half, and it's not great, but it's a little better now. And like, those are the things. There's no nuance to this conversation. You know, he's stat padding, so it's not impressive, the numbers he's putting up. The numbers he's putting up are undoubtedly, it's one of the most impressive things we've seen on a basketball court in a long time.
It's got your dad impressed, for crying out loud.
Yes, that is true. My dad's freaking out. My dad is watching basketball because of this. And he's not even from Oklahoma. He's in New York, just, you know, on the Upper West Side in New York, you know? Like, he's tuning into Thunder games every once in a while because He wants to see Russell Westbrook. He's watched two Russell Westbrook games now in the last two games. He fired up my league pass account. My dad.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But what? It's kind of, I think that has to be a, and yes, like random person who knows nothing about basketball, watching basketball does not say something about how effective his play is when you get down into it. Something else I wanted to discuss too. I know I'm stealing your words, Royce, but
Well, you're just going to say it better than me, so I don't mind.
No, I've got myself on a rant. So there's a specific type of Twitter of a niche type of Twitter troll out there, yeah. Which I've has always existed, but I've noticed recently is like a different type of Twitter troll. I think usually Twitter trolls are completely they're usually just kind of stupid, right?
Right.
There's,
and they like embrace their ignorance, you know?
Right. They're just ignorant is the better word than stupid. There is the educated Twitter troll who is stupid about having good information.
Yes.
Which honestly might be the most annoying. So I wrote an article a couple days ago about how Russell Westbrook's rebounding might be the most impressive part of his stat line this year. And about two or three people tweeted at me that he leads the league in uncontested rebounds.
Right. Yes.
And that's great that you go on, you're looking at SportView data. As anyone who listens to this podcast know, like I am very into all of that stuff. He also leads the league in contested rebounds for any guard. Like he also gets so many uncontested rebounds because he's so much faster than everyone that they become uncontested when it's a loose ball. Like these are things that you think about and you can realize, but I don't think people are putting their full brain power to this.
Well, this is what happens, Fred. And with stats in general, when somebody has, you know, developed a narrative, whether it's, you know, stat padding or whatever it may be, I mean, everybody knows, then you try to go confirm your own bias. And so you have to ignore like perspective, reality, and common sense, because if that person were to then kind of dig a little deeper and unpack it all together, and then, you know, then they wouldn't have a tweet to send to you, right? I mean, they'd be like, oh man, well, I guess it doesn't completely, I can't hashtag well actually Fred here, if I include everything to this. So yes, that Twitter troll is, that one's the more difficult one because they are, they understand some of the, you know, information that's out there and how to use it. I actually had an interaction with like that today about Westbrook and, somebody that like clearly just looked at his box score the morning after and looked at, what did he finish? 12 of 35, I think.
Right.
And they just assumed that he played bad. 12 of 35, 5 turnovers. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, Russ did not shoot the ball well, but he, you know, me and you both were sitting by each other. He missed a lot of shots that maybe he should have made. Maybe it was fatigue or whatever it was. He didn't shoot the ball well. But like, you can't come away from that Wizards game and say that like Russell Westbrook played a bad game. I mean, like he just didn't shoot it well, and that's going to happen in an 82 game schedule. But this person's trying to make the case that Westbrook, you know, his shooting percentages are bad and his turnovers are up. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I said something about how his turnover rate's really not that abnormal if you compare it to his usage, and you know, his true shooting numbers are on par with the rest of his career. And like, you know, they understood those stats, but then they said, yeah, but they've got to get better if the Thunder want to, you know, win a championship or whatever. And so it's like, you're placing this like unrealistic, like expectation on a guy that's averaging a freaking triple double. I mean, like, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. You want Westbrook to be a little bit better than he is. Of course. I mean, yeah, of course he wants to be better than he is. He'd love to average zero turnovers a game and shoot 100% from the field. But like it's the same old story that's been with Russell Westbrook for 8 years running now. You take the good and the very, very good and the very, very excellent with the bad and the very bad. And it all goes together. And last night's game against the Wizards was a very good example of it, that sometimes to get the good, you have to really endure a lot of bad. And but eventually, you know, Westbrook just doesn't stop. So you're going to see a little bit of good at some point. You know, the things that I think people just so often miss with Westbrook, if you don't watch him play on a regular basis, is like, what was the play? There's probably about a minute and a half or 2 minutes left. And he just was like chasing the ball underneath the basket. I don't remember. You remember, Fred, he knocked the ball out of somebody's hands. I can't quite remember the play off the top of my head.
Yeah.
It was like there was a loose ball, but he just didn't quit on it, you know, like, and he created an extra possession. And I think he ended up with a layup out of it. And like, that's just the stuff that you just can't really describe to somebody that's just popping open a box score the next morning. So, That was kind of my point that I wrote about after the game was like, if you're just focused on the negatives, and there are negatives to focus on with Westbrook, there's plenty to nitpick, and there always will be. And like you said, his flaws are obvious. He's polarizing for a reason. But if you can only focus on those things, and you look at a game like he had last night, and you say, yeah, but he shot 12 of 35 and had 5 turnovers, you're just missing out. You're missing the point, and you're missing something special.
Royce, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football or basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium or the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, too. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deal that fits your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Thunder. That's LO, like locked on. And SeatGeek is going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Thunder today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I kind of think, in a way, like I'm a big believer that fans and like executives really should look at the game differently. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that this is one of those things where, like, if you don't appreciate this, if you're a reasonable person, but maybe you're a reasonable person who is unreasonable about this one thing, you know, I really do think if you're a reasonable person, and you don't appreciate this in the moment, you'll regret it later. Like, I always said that about people. I mean, look, LeBron was the ultimate victim of this stuff, right? You know, LeBron, yeah, for years, can't win a championship.
LeBron passed. He's afraid.
Right. The most ridiculous things about maybe the most amazing player I'll ever see in my entire life. You know, the most unbelievable, outrageous things were said about him. There was such stupid content coming out of people's mouths, you know? And those people, now all of a sudden they're like, well, you know, he really showed it when he won with Cleveland. It's like, dude, that's like the seventh time he's made the finals.
Right, as if that validated LeBron James. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It really took, you know, game 5, 6, and 7 for LeBron to validate his greatness to you. Like, I mean, yeah, that's a great point. Like, that's what it took. Man, you've been missing out on the last 10 years because they've been really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's just – it's sad because I really do. I felt the same way about LeBron. Like, a reasonable person will look back on it, and maybe if they have the humility, they'll be like, I messed that up. I should have appreciated it when it was going on. And it takes a humility to be able to do that. But, like, we kind of admit that stuff anyway in sports. Like, whether fan bases want to admit that or not, fan bases admit that kind of stuff. Like, and it happens all the time. It happens with players all the time. Like, how many players kind of get killed throughout their career and then they retire and they go away for 10 years? And then there's another player that we're killing who's active now. And then we say, he'll never be as good as that other player who we used to kill who's now flawless in retrospect.
Yeah.
We do that all the time. And we don't have the self-awareness to realize, like, oh, wait a second. We were giving this other player the exact same treatment. Maybe we should start being rational with our thoughts.
Yeah. One thing I was going to point this out, too, about the stat padding, that, like, within an 82-game season, a lot of players, you need, like, some level of, like, self-motivation within that, too. So, like, you know, to give – and, okay, I get it, Twitter fan out there. Winning should be your only motivation. I get it, okay? Yeah, they all want to win the basketball game that they're playing in. But there's also something in the degree of, like, you know, think about it in your everyday lives with your jobs too or whatever. Sometimes you need something that's kind of like try to, like, motivate yourself on a night-to-night basis to, like, go out there and, like, play really hard and, like, try to do the very best you can. And, you know, for Kevin Durant, I remember – He had a season, I don't remember what it was. It was, you know, 4 years ago now probably, where he desperately wanted 50, 40, 90. Like, and that was like something that he focused on. It was a goal that he set before the year. He knew it would be a special accomplishment. And so like night to night, he was like playing a game against himself in a way. Yes, his first priority was winning the game. That's what he wanted to do. But he also wanted to try to like control his efficiency and like shoot for that goal. And that was like something that through the 82-game schedule motivated him on a night in and night out basis. If that's the case for Russell Westbrook in a triple double, that's not a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing for a guy to walk out and say, I think I want to try to get a triple double every single game. That's probably going to have a pretty good impact on the team winning. Now, I think that this goes back to the original discussion. If we could all see that this was damaging the Thunder's ability to win, or they were having, you know, if all this was hurting their chances, then that's a different situation. You know, that's a different discussion. But it's clearly not, or there is at least no evidence to suggest that it is. So to me, it's just kind of a moot point.
Right. And I don't want to make it seem like we're saying it's impossible to pad stats. Like, there are players who do pad assists, who have wide open layups and give it up. And, like, you know, the most extreme example is, like, the Ricky Davis triple-double or something.
Right. Or the Rondo, like, Rondo's got an open layup and he kicks to a corner. Or,
right.
You know, I mean, and those type of things happen. You know, Westbrook, I think, I don't know if he was necessarily padding stats, or if he was just trying to be just a good teammate. But there was times, you know, when he would be like on a fast break, like on a 2-on-0 fast break, nobody back on defense, and Durant was trailing him, Westbrook would routinely drop the ball off to Durant and let Durant be the one to dunk it.
Right, and Chris Paul does that all the time, too.
And I don't know that that's, you know, that's
Chris
up for debate.
Chris Paul does that with Blake and Jamal Crawford, right? Every single time.
Is Chris Paul, you know, trying to just add an assist to the tally, or is it that he's trying to get, you know, a player on his team going because he's like, you know, Chris Paul understands that as my job as a point guard is to try to get everybody else in rhythm and feeling good. So, I mean, so like that's up for debate. And I'm sure Chris Paul probably doesn't hate the fact that he picks up an assist, which is like one of his, you know, kind of his focuses. So, again, the 2 points are going in the basket. So what does it really matter?
Yeah. You know who would be the worst Twitter troll ever?
I want to guess, but I don't know. Me?
Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan would be such a bad Twitter troll. He would, first of all, he would exclusively use Sulia to respond to people.
Sulia. Oh my god.
He would only use Sulia, and he would have like incredibly reasoned takes, and the troll line wouldn't get until like the 8th sentence in Sulia.
Yeah. Well, have you shared with your listeners what you call him?
12 Minute Bill?
Yeah. It is true.
Yeah, no, his media availability routinely goes 12 minutes.
And,
it's great.
And if Billy Donovan is queuing up Locked on Thunder, I want to make it expressively clear. Do not change, Billy. Like,
it's great. It's amazing. He gives the best answers.
He gives fascinating answers. It's a little bit of a pain on the transcription side of things. But, no, I mean, it's something a lot of people, when Billy Donovan took over as coach, they'd be like, how's Billy? Like, what's he like? And I'd be like, he is unbelievable. Like, the commitment that he shows and the investment that he has in each media availability to me is, like, remarkable. That he shows up. And like, because there's a lot of coaches that, you know, they just want to get through it and get out of it. Obviously, there's plenty of them. We all know who they are. Billy Donovan is like willing to like not just answer your question, but answer it as thoroughly as he possibly can.
And he doesn't condescend. Some coaches say, like, you know, some coaches will say, you know, you guys don't understand, blah, blah, like fill in thing that I understand, you know.
Right.
And like Billy is not out of touch in that sense. Like he's super respectful. Like I will ask him something X's nosy or something, and he will give me a really interesting X's nose answer. Or I'll ask him something statistical, and Billy's really into analytics. So he'll give me a really analytical answer. And it's like, I love it.
And a lot of times I'll ask Billy something, not necessarily even for like a story I'm working on. Like I'll be just like, I'm just kind of curious and I want to hear his answer. He's like a smart basketball person. And you know, it's like, I just kind of want to hear what he has to say about it. And like, I don't even have my recorder on. You know, it's like, I'm not looking to use the quote in anything. It's just, I'm curious. And I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Yep. I know. I think it's funny that like some of the fan base has caught on to it. It's something that I probably wouldn't catch on to unless, like, if I didn't have this job, if I weren't around him every day. Every once in a while, I'll tweet out, you know, Billy will give a fascinating answer, and I'll transcribe it. It'll be, you know, just like, you know, he will literally give sometimes 200-300-word answers, longer than blog posts that I'll write.
You remember when he like had the self-awareness to say, what did he say? Yeah, it was like a couple weeks ago. He's like,
"Oh yeah,
I know I'm rambling here."
This answer's a little long-winded.
Yeah, just this one, Billy. Yeah, you've never done it before.
Well, I was so amazed by that because I wanted to know why he thought that answer
that was
long-winded.
The one.
And it was like a pretty standard Billy answer. Yeah, Eric, but because apparently yesterday pregame he was at 11 minutes, and I put my recorder up on like the table where Billy does pregame. Mm-hmm. So I actually can't see my recorder. I can't see how long it's gone until I'm done. And apparently I asked a question at 11 minutes after there was like a silence, and he gave his answer, and it went 12 minutes. And Eric Horn thought I was trolling and just trying to get him to 12 minutes. I was like, no, I like actually was planning on asking that question.
Well, it's like the perfect example. Maybe you were going to say this, but you asked him for an update on Cameron Payne, which is literally like a one sentence answer because it was like, there's really no update at this point, but he still ended up giving you three paragraphs worth of an answer.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. The only issue is that we're all going to have carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
The Thunder should have to pay for our healthcare.
Yeah.
But it's great to cover. He's the most invested coach in answers I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But
I appreciate it. I love it.
Yeah, oh, it's awesome. But he would be a terrible Twitter troll.
Yeah, he would have a hard time, no doubt about it.
Which coach would be the best Twitter troll?
Oh man, I would think it would have to be. Part of me would say I feel like Stan Van Gundy is like my answer for every question of like which coach would be this. I feel like I always come back to Stan Van Gundy.
He's like my favorite.
But like, did you? I don't know if you saw his answer the other day. About Tom Haberstroh asked him about like Russell Westbrook and the triple doubles, and Stan Van Gundy ended up going on like a sidebar rant about how players today are soft and coddled, and you know the resting players is ruining the league. I don't know. I think Tom might have either wrote it or tweeted out the rant or whatever. But it was like, to me, it was a very like hot sports take comment from old Stan.
Well, that's what the Van Gundys believe. That's like the whole Van Gundy, like Jeff Van Gundy talks about that all the time. Mm. I think Steve Clifford believes that, and like he's a Van Gundy assistant. We always find ourselves talking about the Van Gundy coaching tree. Do you notice that? Who else thinks that? And Tibbs, obviously, who is an assistant for Van Gundy for years. So you know, anyone associated with Van Gundy Van Gundy apparently believes that.
Pop would obviously be a tremendous Twitter troll, but you know who I think would be a lot better than people think, just because he's so charming and so nice? Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr's got like this like sarcastic side to him that you'll see it every now and then like in a media session that it's like he'll jab a reporter or something. I feel like Steve Kerr has got like he's got a little edge to him.
That's a good one. Steve Kerr's a good one. Is there anybody else who would
you know who'd be the worst? Scott Brooks, because Scott Brooks is just way too nice.
Yeah, but Scott Brooks is also a prankster.
That is true.
So you could see Scott Brooks like doing stuff because he thinks it's funny, you know?
He probably just have like parody accounts or something.
Yeah. I could see Terry Stotts being a solid troll.
Yeah. He's kind of got that sarcastic.
Yeah, I could see Brett Brown is so Brett Brown's too nice, actually.
Brett Brown's very Billy Donovan-esque in terms of like his investment in every media session. I love it. I love hearing it. Plus his accent is just tremendous.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, oh, he's from Brooklyn. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, he's from Australia.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like he's fantastic. Like I totally get. I don't know how the heck he's like the perfect coach for that team.
He is, because he's upbeat, he's positive, he's a teacher, he's got the patience, he's got the like ability to like not want to die over like their struggles.
But like, he's like so positive. Yeah. They just lose every. Well, they're better this year, but they the last 3 years just lose every single game, and every single time he's like, "Nope, we got him next time, guys. Let's go."
Right.
He's like, how is his spirit like not destroyed? It's kind of amazing. Just how like consistently positive he is. It's part of why it's hard to tell exactly how good of a coach he is because he's just never had the roster.
I think he's an excellent coach. That's something I think I've made that comment a number of times, is that I really would love to – I want the Sixers to get good because I would love to see how good a coach Brett Brown is, because my instinct says that he's very good.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. They finished 12th in defense a couple of years ago.
I mean, I think it says a lot about a coach. Like it's almost like the low hanging fruit to like kind of decide like whether or not they're a good coach. But I think if you get your team to play hard on a nightly basis, I think that's like step one. You're well on your way to being a good coach. And Brett Brown, no matter what, those 76ers teams just played hard.
You know who's a good Twitter troll?
Who's this?
I bet. We left him out, but I've got Clippers Cavs playing in the background right now. I bet David Blatt would be a great Twitter troll.
Oh,
David Blatt would be really good at it.
That'd be pretty good.
He'd be. I could totally see somebody like tweeting out like, you know, this is you know, just like a total fact, just like this is David Blatt's first time, you know, coaching in the finals. And then you like David Blatt like tweets out, actually he coached in EuroLeague finals multiple times. I could 100% see that happening.
Man.
How good do you think the Thunder are?
You know, I was thinking about
your opinion changed?
It's kind of gone. I've gone back and forth. And, you know, you tweeted out the stat today about, you know, what was it, the last eight games? I don't remember it.
Yeah, last eight games, they've got a 109.9 offensive rating.
Which is really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really good. It would be the fifth. If it belonged to a team on the season, it would be the fifth best offense.
Here's what I can't really figure out about them. First of all, you know, for the most part, they're beating.
They've also played bad defenses in that stretch.
Right.
Like, that's not the quality of offense they are, but they're a lot better than, you know, my bottom five they were the first, you know, half of this year.
That's what I mean. They've beat one good team that I would say that would, or I mean, maybe two. I guess you could maybe classify the Rockets as well.
Yeah, Rockets are. I think Rockets are going to win 50.
And they've been competitive in game. You know, they were competitive against the Raptors. They were competitive in that loss to the Clippers. You know, the thing that I think that, and I hate to be this guy, the what if guy. But like, if you go down, if you look at their schedule and you say, okay, they should have beat the Magic at home. You know, they lost a game. That's a game that, you know, give them a win there. Give them a win against the Pacers in overtime. They should have won that game. They obviously gave that one away. And then let's say that Nick Young gets the travel called on. The record now suddenly is 15-5. And I would say at that point, you say, hey, they're pretty good, right? You could kind of go the other way with it as well. You know, I mean, you could also say, well, what if Russell Westbrook doesn't hit a shot last night against the Wizards, or they don't win in overtime in Denver? So, I mean, that's kind of the point of the 82 game schedule, is that all these what ifs and shouldas kind of balance themselves out. But I guess the point I'm getting at here is that, look, you know, within the schedule, they've got games that I think would raise your eyebrow and you'd say, I don't think that they're that good. I mean, losing at Detroit. Now that was kind of a schedule loss. That was the second of a back to back, but you know, no Reggie Jackson, no Andre Drummond. You know, then they, you know, it was also a back to back, but they got beat up pretty good by the Kings. I mean, they've got some losses on the schedule that make you go, I don't know. But they're also, I do think that in the last week and a half or two, they've shown clear improvement. I think they've gotten better. I do think the offense is getting better. The question is for me, Fred, if they could figure out a way to do both things at once, play good defense and play the offense that they are, then I think that they're pretty good. I think, you know, I think I picked them maybe to finish fifth in the West. I can't remember my exact pick. Picked them to win the Northwest Division, and I thought that they'd win 46 to 49 games, somewhere in there. I think that they can do that. I guess, like, what are we classifying as good? They're not, like, championship level. They're not good enough to get to the Western Conference Finals, I don't think. But I think that they're pretty solid. But, you know, they're not, you know, this is not your classic Thunder team that's, you know, marching towards 55 to 60 wins.
Yeah, I'm with you. I still think they're, like, sixth in the West. I still think they're behind that top three, the Clippers and the Warriors, and who am I forgetting? The Spurs, duh. And I think Utah and Houston are too strong on individual sides of the ball. Like, I think Utah, I think Utah's going to finish with number one defense. And I mm-hmm. think Houston is just one of the best. Their offense is too good. Those are 50-win teams to me.
It's kind of like what we talked about with Westbrook. Like, the Thunder's flaws are very obvious flaws. And, like, their half-court offense, you know, even though they've been better lately, but their half-court offense, when it's bad, it's really bad. And it's essentially, in a lot of ways, it's like, how good is Russell Westbrook going to play tonight? Now, I think a couple of the positive signs lately, Anthony Morrow's injection in the rotation, I think, has helped a lot on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. Victor Oladipo looks far more comfortable now. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, Fred, that, I mean, the way he's shooting the ball, catch and shoots, corner threes, I mean, is pretty remarkable. And I think Steven Adams is playing a lot better. And to me, I think Billy Donovan is learning his team as he kind of goes along. It seems like there's a little more comfort there as well from Billy Donovan about, okay, you know, this is what we need at this certain time. So I think the Thunder are going to be the type of team that are going to improve throughout the season. But, you know, I think that it's just – there's still such an unknown to them because – you know, if you just look in the West, I could see the Thunder, you know, moving into that top four. I could see that because Westbrook is that good, and there's, you know, Oladipo is improving and Adams. But then again, like, you know, you look at some of these teams behind them. I think the Trailblazers have underachieved so far. I think the Jazz are going to be in that conversation. Now, the Grizzlies are going to fall off because Mike Conley's hurt. The Thunder are going to be a playoff team. I'm pretty sure of that, unless they have injuries. But now, here's a question, Fred. And this is like – this is a – probably like reaching a little too deep here, but like, let's just say that the Thunder get the, I guess, they'd need the four seed, right? Or what would they need? Like, I'm trying to look at the standings here. This is great podcasting as I try to figure this out.
What would they need for what?
Let's say the Clippers finish as the second seed.
Okay.
For the Thunder to play them in the second round, they'd have to be the three seed, right?
Right.
So, because, you know, the Thunder would obviously need to avoid the Warriors. Let's say the Thunder match up in the first round against the Trailblazers or whoever, or Grizzlies, and they win that first round series. I could see that happening. I actually think the Thunder would have a chance to beat the Clippers in a 7-game series. Am I crazy? And the Clippers are a better team, but for some reason, and I think we saw it in both the games that they played against each other, I think the Thunder match up well against the Clippers, and I think they always kind of have. I don't know that I necessarily picked the Thunder to win, but I think that there's a chance that the Thunder could win that series. Am I crazy?
I think playoff Blake would kill them.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I think Adams, it would be contingent on, like, could Adams stay out of foul trouble? Because Adams would be the guy that would guard him.
Well then playoff DeAndre would dunk on the robot about 48 times.
Right.
I wouldn't trust. I mean, DeAndre would pull down 5 offensive rebounds a game if that were the case. Look, the robot's going to be good. The robot is Sabonis, by the way.
Yeah. Look, I'm just trying to figure out a way that the Thunder can play the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
Like, well, your more realistic scenario is 1-4 maybe, I guess, or 1-8.
Yeah, but I mean, if the Thunder, I was trying to, I mean, see a path to the Thunder getting to the Western Conference Finals, and again, that's getting way ahead of it because the Thunder may end up being the 8 seed.
I don't think we're going to find that path. I don't think there's a yellow brick road on this one.
I don't know. I just think, you know, I think the Spurs would whip the Thunder pretty good. And I think, you know, obviously the Warriors would. I just think for some reason that they match up well against the Clippers. I don't know why. I've got it in my head that and it might change in the postseason, but maybe it could happen.
Yeah. Griffin's just a, he's a bad matchup for them. They don't have. I mean, now granted, come the postseason, it's possible this roster looks different,
right?
But they don't have a four who can guard Blake, I don't think.
And Ibaka was always very good on Blake.
Yes, Ibaka's really good on Blake. But you know, the types of defenders who are good on Blake are kind of different now than they used to be. Like, you used to be able to if you Z-Bo was always good on Blake.
Mm-hmm.
He'd keep him off the boards, and if you like hit him enough times, he would kind of bow out. And like, he's just completely not like that anymore. So I think the types of defenders who are good on him now are a little bit different stylistically. Like Blake could never score against Chuck Hayes. He was always so bad against Chuck Hayes, even though Chuck Hayes is like Chuck Hayes, great post defender, but Blake could never do anything against Chuck Hayes. He was like the Blake defender. And it was because like Chuck Hayes was, you know, so dirty and vicious on him. That, and I mean that in a positive sense, Chuck Hayes was a great post defender, especially for someone his size, that Blake couldn't do anything against him. Like, it was to the point that the Clippers actually signed Chuck Hayes for training camp and released him just so they could have him guard him in practice. And that was how Chuck Hayes' career ended.
So what do you think is
Blake Griffin?
How many wins do you think gets the four seed?
I think Utah and Houston are both going to win 50.
So that means that, yes, I mean that.
Like that 50 to 52. That would put the four at like 50 to 52.
Yeah, I don't think the Thunder are getting there.
No, me neither. I think they're 45.
Yeah, I think they're 40. I think they're 45 to 48, somewhere in that range. And because here's the thing, I think that the first 20 games, you know, we're a quarter of the season down, and I think they're probably a pretty good summary of, I think, how a lot of the season is going to go, unless there's, you know, rapid improvement or maybe a trade made or something. But I think it's going to be just like an up and down season. I mean, it's just this Thunder team is, you know, I would call them above average, but, you know, they're just not an elite contender. So this is what you deal with on a night-to-night basis when you're, you know, one of the just like good teams in the NBA is you might not win. You know, I mean, and I think Thunder fans are adjusting to this idea that, you know, it used to be the Thunder would walk into a game and the expectation was to win because they had, in most nights, they had the two best players on the floor, period. And they were going to probably walk in and beat whoever they were going to play unless it was like, you know, a top tier matchup. But that's not the case anymore. So, I mean, it doesn't really even matter who they play. You look at the schedule, coming up. None of these games, even though you look at them and say, oh, they should win that. I mean, none of them are guarantees. I just don't think you can just circle a game on the schedule and say the Thunder will win that, because that's what happens when you just become a good team in the NBA and you're not an elite team.
Yep. You gotta adjust. Success is what is it? Expectations divided by reality.
Right.
John Hamm had a really funny tweet about that recently.
Yeah, the formula.
Yes, exactly. But like, that's really what it is.
And you look at this January.
Adjust expectations.
Man, I'm looking at the schedule right now. That's why this is on my mind. January. I mean, I think they play 16 games in January. I mean,
January is going to crush them. January is going to crush
4-12. And they could go 4-12.
January is going to crush me. They have so many road games.
So many road games, a lot of tough games.
And I'm going to a bunch of those games.
I mean, honestly, if they went 500 in January, I think that would be a massive win.
So January, they're in Charlotte. Let's see if I can do this off the top of my head. They're in Charlotte.
Wrong. You're wrong to start. You missed.
Oh, they're in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, yeah.
Then they're in Charlotte. Then they're in Houston.
Yep.
Then they're home. Then they're in Chicago.
Yep.
Then they're at home. Then they're in Minnesota.
Yep.
Then they're Sacramento, Clippers. These are all roads. Sacramento, right. Clippers, Warriors.
Long road trip here. Yeah.
Utah and New Orleans. That's the longest road trip of the year. Then they come home for Dallas, right?
Yep.
And then, man, I've read the schedule too many times. And then they finish January with like Cleveland and San Antonio on the road.
Yep. Man. Nailed it.
How about that?
You look at the schedule, though. I mean, this is –
that's insane.
I mean, I'm going through this, and I'm saying, okay, games that I think you could say the Thunder are going to win, I'm picking out 1, 2, 3 that I'm like feel pretty good about.
Right. It's not just like road games and that's it. Like, it's road games against Cleveland and San Antonio and Clippers. Houston and Utah and the Clippers and the Warriors. They're playing all the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's tough.
That could be a very difficult month.
Yeah, and New Orleans looks pretty good with Drew Holiday. And
I guess that's my overall point, is that there's just this Thunder team, and maybe that's a reason to watch them, because you never know what's going to happen. But it's just there's no telling which way the game is going to go. You know, with last year's team and the teams before that, you know, they dropped their fair share of eggs, because every team does. But for the most part, when they were supposed to win, they won. And that's just, and they won, you know, with Durant and Westbrook sitting the fourth quarter. And you know, that's one of my points that I've been trying to make a little bit more about, back to what Westbrook's triple doubles. You know, he had 18 of them last year. You know, he was what, 2.5 rebounds away from averaging a triple double last season. So it's not like he was far off of this when he was, you know, playing alongside Kevin Durant. A big difference then is the Thunder were really good. They were, you know, one of the top margin of victory teams in the NBA. Russell Westbrook sat a lot of fourth quarters and blowouts. And this team this year, he's not going to sit very many of them, because more of their games are going to be close, and he's going to need to, you know, play throughout fourth quarters, and sometimes there may be overtimes or whatever. So it's more opportunity for him to be in the game and to get numbers. And I think that alone, the fact that the Thunder are going to be in more close games, is going to keep him on the floor, and it's just going to keep the number engine going.
All right, Royce, before we go, I have a business question for you.
Okay.
Do you think the Thunder are making a mistake, or do you think the Thunder are potentially have in their future some sort of endorsement with Taco Bell for the triple-double Crunchwrap? Should they have an endorsement? Like, why is Tumbleson not getting their advertising people on this?
That's a good question. Surely there's something better than that, though, right?
Is there anything else called a triple-double?
Is that what they call it at Taco Bell, a triple-double?
Triple-double Crunchwrap, isn't that a thing?
I think that's a thing.
I've actually only been to Taco Bell. I've been to Taco Bell twice.
Do they even have those in New York?
Yeah, they have Taco Bell. I've never been.
You don't hate yourself enough to go there all the time?
Exactly. I feel like if I walk into Taco Bell, and I've only had drive-through Taco Bell, right? So I feel like if I walk into Taco Bell, everyone who eats their meal is going to be like silently crying. Not like bawling and just like outwardly crying, but they're going to be like, there's going to be like one tear dropping down all of their faces. And it's just going to be a tear of regret and just like, and shame, and just kind of all rolled into one massive tear.
Exactly. It's funny how everybody in the universe, I think, feels the exact same way. Nobody's ever like, let's go get Taco Bell today. But like, and yet it's still a very successful fast food operation.
I had Taco Bell once in college after a night of shenanigans at probably 3 a.m.
And that probably answers my question of why they're still successful.
Yeah, exactly. And like legitimately did not enjoy it. Even in the state that I was in. And then I had Taco Bell once after that, when I was with my brother, and we got into a conversation about how much money the person who invented the Dorito taco at the Taco Bell has probably made, because they sell like a million of those a year or something like that. It's like whoever came up with that idea must be like in a really high up executive by now, because that guy made them so much money. And then we were like, neither of us had it. So we were like, let's try this. So we went and we got one Dorito taco and we split it, and it wasn't good. And that was it.
I'm kind of the sucker. Like, I mean, I'm probably in the last 2 years, my wife could vouch for this, I've probably eaten a Taco Bell once or twice. But what always gets me is their new thing. Like, I'll see the commercial for the new thing and it'll be like, come eat this, like, cheese fused tortilla wrap that's got like, you know, bacon sprinkles on, and I'm like, oh, I gotta have that. Like, I gotta know what that's all about.
If you've gotta have one fast food, like, what's your fast food?
Well, does Chick-fil-A count? Because I've like convinced myself that Chick-fil-A is not fast food.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A counts.
Okay, that's Chick-fil-A.
Okay, if Chick-fil-A doesn't count, then what is it?
If I don't count Chick-fil-A, my favorite fast food, man. I love. Have you been to Raising Cane's?
No.
Like, if you like chicken tenders, like, I love Raising Cane's.
So you're going chicken all the way.
I'm kind of a chicken guy. Yeah, I'm a chicken guy.
You're going chicken all the way. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, and like In-N-Out and Shake Shack don't count in this conversation.
No, I mean, Shake Shack is like
Shake Shack is ridiculous.
Shake Shack is like the reason I would consider moving to the East Coast.
There's one in Dallas now.
Okay, then I'll consider moving to Dallas.
Shake Shack is so good.
Shake Shack is like just on another level. It's like people want to have that discussion of like Five Guys or In-N-Out or what. And it's like you can debate that, but like Shake Shack is number one and it's not a question.
Yeah, Shake Shack is because it's not actually fast food.
No, it's gourmet dining in my mind.
Yes. No, it is.
I'd go there and eat there like on my anniversary, for crying out loud. Like if they took reservations, I'd be calling and making a reservation for my anniversary right now.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I won't say it's not the best burger that I've had, but it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Best burger is on 74th and 3rd in New York City. And it's called JG Melons, and it is so good.
See, Oklahomans would say it's Nick's.
I went to Nick's for the first time.
Nick's is pretty good. It's a good burger.
It was very good. You know what's very good? Like, really good burger? S&B's.
S&B's got good burgers.
And they have excellent fries.
Yeah. Did you get some Thunder fries, or did you leave your objectivity and professionalism at the door and get Thunder fries?
What are Thunder fries?
That's something you can get at S&B. I don't really know what they have on it. It's like, I don't remember what they have on it. Thousand Island or something and melted cheese. I can't remember exactly.
Oh, that's not quite for me. I like my fries just with ketchup and that's it.
Yeah.
But the fries are really good. They're like very, SMB's very good fries.
There's another place, The Garage, that's kind of like S&B also, that's good.
Right. That's Automobile Alley, right?
Yeah, there's one there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, have not been there, but I'm trying to hit up the good burger spots. Just went to Nick's for the first time. Nick's was very good.
Yeah, Nick's is pretty good.
It was a very good burger. I honestly might be.
What about Tucker's? Have you been to Tucker's and had an Oklahoma onion burger?
No, but I have in my ventures on the internet googling best burger in Oklahoma. I have seen Tucker's onion burger many times, and I don't know what an onion burger is, so I've stayed away from it.
It's literally. It's like if somebody's going to actually me on this. I'm probably going to have it wrong. But an onion burger was created in Oklahoma during the Great Depression, right, Carrie? That was asking my wife, Carrie, for all you listeners out there. No, it was like people came up with it during the Great Depression, and it was basically like a way to like maximize the amount of meat you had. So you would chop up and like grill onions within the patty. So it's like an onion burger is like half hamburger patty, half – you know, grilled onion.
Oh, that sounds okay.
It's good. If you like grilled onions, I mean.
I do like grilled onions. I was so confused by what it was. I normally put onions on my burger, so I would be okay with that.
You'd like it.
I'd be fine with that. Anything to plug?
I'd like to plug Tucker's onion burgers. And Shake Shack.
You've never plugged anything written by Royce Young on this podcast.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Royce wrote a good piece on Scott Brooks. You can read that a couple days late, I guess.
Yeah, it still exists on the internet.
Yeah, they didn't take it down. That was a good piece, though. I enjoyed that piece. People can read that piece on the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network.com. You guys need to shorten that. It's too long.
We need to come up with an acronym.
Programming Network is
yeah. I think we need an acronym. I don't know what it could be.
Yeah, it's just got to be something. It's too long. All right, at Royce Young on Twitter. I'll see you. You know, I'm going to the Blue game tomorrow.
Are you really?
You want to come with me? how
you know many Blue games I've been to in my life?
Have you not been to one?
Been to one. Yeah, I've been to one.
I'm going. I've never been to a D-League game, actually, and I'm a little ashamed by that.
The fact that I'm basically protesting because Talib Zana is not on the team anymore, and it's just he's an Oklahoma City Blue legend. They haven't retired his jersey yet, and I'm furious about it.
I honestly just want to see Josh Huestis play.
I'm still a Huestis believer, so.
Well, I just need to develop an opinion. Like, I've only seen him play preseason basketball, really, in person. Like, I saw him play, you know, basically against a good game against Portland in the regular season last year, but, you know, not in person because I wasn't covering the team yet. So I want to see.
He had his moments. I mean, yeah, he got in there towards the end of the year and had his moments. I mean, I think if you ask the Thunder fan base, they would all tell you that he's better than Kyle Singler. I don't know that he actually is, but most people believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want accurate information, the first place you should go is your Twitter mentions. So.
Yeah, that's where I get all my opinions.
Can you imagine if Sam Presti actually ran the team like that?
He has a ghost Twitter that he's just soliciting opinions.
There, I will not throw anybody under the bus. But I'll tell you after. But there are players and executives who have rogue Twitter accounts.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
And like follow journalists, and they maybe they're some of the Twitter trolls.
That's the thing I would like to know. I know some of them. I know there's plenty of them out there that are anonymous Twitter accounts. But the question is do they ever tweet at anybody?
Exactly. That's the real question. Like Hollinger couldn't get away with that because he was John Hollinger before. But like fill in the blank executive could.
Yeah.
They could do it. All right. Ready to take off?
Yep.
Long podcast. Oh, well, I'll sustain people for the weekend.
Great stuff, though.
You remember I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. Obviously, off for the weekend after this one. So no show tomorrow, no show Sunday, and back on Monday. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. And log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. To check out Thunder Road, my blog there under the sports tab on the site. That's going to do it for today. Back with you Monday. Until then, Lockdown Thunder is locking up.